Hello, I'm Paige Albiniak, editorial director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. What does everyone have in common with Kim Kardashian, Cookie Monster, and Donald Trump? Well, you might think you have absolutely nothing in common with any of them, except perhaps a deep and abiding love for cookies, but check in with this group of energetic Promax BDA thrivers to find out the answer and how it applies to you.
We got JC and Kathleen in the audience, and we're looking for your answers. We're gonna start this off with a question. What does everyone in this room have in common with Kim Kardashian, Cookie Monster, and Donald Trump? When I think of Kim Kardashian, I think of the reality star that my wife makes me watch every week. But what do you guys think?
We need some answers. Anybody?
One word answer.
You got a word for Kim?
One.
Nothing.
Someone?
Nothing.
Nope. Nothing. Rich, write that down. Nothing. What about you?
What about you?
She's pretty well branded, I would
say. All right, well branded. Rich, you got that one? Here we go.
I'm trying to draw her butt. Well branded.
All of them are on TV.
We got another good one. They're all on TV.
They're influencers.
Influencers, that was good.
All right. You got something, marketer? All right, moving on. What about Cookie Monster?
Anyone know?
An easy one, come on.
Oh, that's easy.
I was looking for the cookies in life.
There you go, looking for cookies, Rich. JC, you have a good opinion of Cookie Monster.
Yeah, he lives in the garbage, is that the same?
No, he doesn't live in the garbage.
All right. All right.
It's crumbs.
I don't think they have a Cookie Monster in France.
It's
blue. Yes.
This next one should be real difficult. What about this guy?
Oh, you have to have an opinion about Trump.
Lovable.
No? Oh, I got a no. How about no? Do you have a Trump opinion?
Well, all three of them are certifiable.
Certifiable. Oh, that's Rich's opinion. Orange.
Oh, no one said that? I thought someone said that.
No.
Whoops.
Well, you know, they say never ask a question you don't know the answer to, so we already made up answers for all these guys.
Oh, I don't know if I'm spelling peace right.
All right.
No, you're
air
not.
Air peace.
So to answer the question, what is every...
All right, thank you.
What does everyone have in common with these three? It's personal brand. We all have a personal brand, and it's based on, and like it or not, it's based on the perceptions of others.
I think Jeff Bezos says it best. Your brand is what people think about you when you're not in the room. If you're anything like me, you're probably dying to know what people are saying about you when you're not in the room. If you're not, I don't understand you, but if you are, you're in luck because today we're gonna tell you how to find out just like we did. But before I do, I want to throw Kathleen under the bus and let her tell you some of the kind words people said about her when she wasn't in the room.
Oh yeah, people love to talk about me when I'm not in the room, and I don't blame them at all. Because here's what they like to say about me. They say I'm creative, awesome. They say I speak way too honestly. I'm bohemian. I swear way too much, and I am not corporate. Oh wait, did I just say I'm so sorry. Somebody keep track of how many times I do that today. That's two.
So anyway, as you can see, your brand is all of it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And just because you're not paying attention doesn't mean others aren't.
And like the brands we work for and sweat over, we also have a personal brand. And it is alive and evolving 24/7, 365.
So we all think we know ourselves, right? But do we really know how other people perceive us? We have this idea in our head of who we want to be, and we try to deliver on that every day. But in reality, is that what other people are seeing in us? Could we possibly be missing something?
Unsolicited, can we expect people to honestly tell us what they think? Probably not. To get that feedback, you need to directly source it from those around you, and you might be surprised by the answers.
Yeah, we all suck at something. So anyway, just show of hands. How many of you right now are walking around working on things you're not good at? Well, not many, right, as we thought. So as marketers, we are very often the worst self-promoters. And we don't spend enough time working on the things that we need to work on. Instead, we rely on the things we're very good at. And that's the problem.
So why should you care? Not being aware ultimately leaves you not in control of your brand. It means you're working against yourself every step of the way. How can you be the best version of you if you don't know what everyone perceives you as? It makes everything that much harder. the risk is greater than the opportunity.
So taking control of the narrative can afford you amazing results. We're going to give you some examples of how to take control of the narrative about you. And when you do it in the workplace, it can also get you a seat at the table. It can help you sell your ideas to your boss. Taking control can give you the confidence and ability to push your ideas through. And it can also help you get a promotion, or in my case, a really kick-ass office that I'll show you later.
So how do we get there? How do you take control of your brand?
So a year ago in this program, the Thrive program back in New York, I really had no idea exactly what my personal brand was. And I was focusing on things that I thought I needed to work on. And we'll get to that soon enough. But you know, some of those things were silly, like, oh, I really shouldn't wear a hat to these meetings. I remember it was like my second day at Pop, and we're rebranding, and I was in the middle of moving, and I showed up just absolutely disgusting because I was moving myself. And those were the things I thought I needed to work on. But a year later, having kind of studied this topic and worked through the program, I realized that there was a lot more that I had to take care of. So we want to share some of those steps with you guys today so that you can get on your way to having a strong personal brand.
So while you're all trapped here, that's three. We're going to give you three steps to go brand yourself. And you can start today, well, in approximately 18 minutes. Rich is going to talk to us about uncovering perceptions. JC is going to tell you about how to build an action plan, and Ian and I are going to talk about mining the results and bringing it all together.
So how does it start? First, you have to uncover the perceptions people would have about you. And how do you do that? That's not easy. So here comes the 360 appraisal, which is a direct, comprehensive, and honest appraisal of you, your brand, and coming from the people you work with. Your boss, your direct reports, your peers, and possibly some agencies or clients that know you well.
And the 360 perspective gives you the opportunity to understand how people perceive you. It's a great way to get honest and open feedback. Personally, I know I talk for all of us, it was really a huge impact on our lives. It helped us change our leadership, it helped us with our career, and it helped us with our personal development.
We will warn you, it's not for the faint of heart. While ultimately rewarding, the process is not easy, nor is it fun.
Wait, I thought it was fun.
Yeah, no, that was just good.
Not fun.
That was a nice disclaimer right before.
Thanks for that, Ian.
Okay, so the 360, like they've all said, is great, but it's not necessarily accessible to everyone. So what we want to do today is tell you how you can leave this room immediately with some tools to go start a DIY. The first step in the DIY 360 is find six participants. One, your boss. Find two coworkers, find two of your direct reports, and grab a vendor or client that knows you well. When you're doing this, it's really important to find people that aren't just gonna say nice things about you, because that kind of defeats the purpose. You wanna find people that maybe you've rubbed the wrong way or you've had a disagreement with, and definitely throw them into the mix, because it's those ingredients that are gonna really help you kind of adjust, shift, change, whatever you need to do. So we thought that it might be tricky, the DIY 360, because of the lack of anonymity, but I did it myself, and let me just tell you, it wasn't. My staff and coworkers came out with guns blazing. They left no stone unturned. They even thought it necessary to comment and critique my man bun. So now I'm not wearing a hat, but I got this thing on my head, and I got to deal with it. Thank you, millennials. All right. Here are the questions. You're going to write an email to them. You want to make them feel comfortable going all in, giving you this raw feedback. So what you have to do is, in your own personal way, pretty much be very clear that if they are not going to be honest and really, in my case, knock the wind out of me, it's not going to be effective. So first question, continue. This is where they're going to kiss your ass. What am I doing effectively that I should keep doing? It's kind of like giving creative feedback, right? Your first line in the email is how great something is, even if the whole thing's a giant turd. And then you get into the stop. Stop is where they actually kick your ass. What am I doing that's getting in the way of me being effective or impactful? And start What are some things that I'm not doing consistently that would be helpful to you? Now, this is really interesting because these are potential solutions, and you don't just get them from your boss. You can get them from your coworkers, and you can even get some pretty good ideas from your employees, you know? Like, they don't know the ingredients that go into you, they just know the taste. So your employees get a good taste of you every day, and they may actually have very valuable solutions, and I found that they really did. So for continue, you know, the ass-kissing piece of this whole thing, I was told that I was a good leader, which I was really surprised by. I was told that I promoted kind of positivity around the office. I was told that the creatives felt like they were making better creative than ever before because of how I challenged them. All great, right? Then we got on to the stop question. It was Friday night. I actually did more than six because I wanted to make sure I had enough material for today. So there are 11 of them. And I had to take a break after each one of the stop sections because it was killing me. But the one I'll tell you about today, and I think it's the most important because it really snuck up on me, was this idea of being on my phone when checking emails, not on the apps, maybe sometimes on the apps, but mostly just trying to keep up, trying to catch up, trying to stay up on emails, trying to do too many things at once. And I was just so shocked because how could I possibly not realize how rude I was being? That got me pretty good. And, you know, the first sort of reaction immediately is like, you know, for some people it's, you know, you want to challenge it, you're upset. For me, it was just like, oh my God, I want to throw away my iPhone and get a Razr, one of those flip phones that don't even have email. Anyway, then I got to start and I got great. Well, basically it was unanimous that people thought I was spread too thin and that I wasn't delegating enough, which was awesome. And the other thing was that my coordinator said, I gotta tell her where the heck I am because people keep coming up to me and they have no idea where I am, to the point where marketing is sending interns. They send their one male intern into the bathroom to find me.
What are you doing in the bathroom?
In the bathroom, I was on the apps. or checking email. Anyway, that was the solution for me to figure out the stop. It was basically, if I start delegating more and spreading out the workload, I'll find that time to go through my emails when it's the right time, and I can give more focused feedback and responses to my team. So I'm gonna probably do the DIY 360 every year because I know that the black mold will continue to grow on me and I'll have to get a little help kind of shedding that nasty layer of crap.
All right, very nice. So now you got your feedback. What are you gonna do with it? Right?
Sure.
What are you going to do with it? Well, because we know that, you know, doing the 360 is not the cure. What you do with the result is important. When I got the results of my 360...
Bonjour.
It was hard.
Come on! Laugh it up! Do you need a hug, JC? Yes.
Bonjour, JC.
Come on. You can handle it. You can handle it.
All right. So anyway, no one say that I was too French. But you know what that means. Although being French today is not that bad. We've come a long way since the Freedom Fries. Remember those? All right. So anyway, so when I got that feedback, you know, it's not easy to hear things or read things about yourself that are not very good. And I was disappointed in myself because I didn't know that I was so bad. But I was so French, sorry. And so deaf. So, and you know, I was at a session on Tuesday, and I forgot the lady's name, but she said, what you don't know, you don't know. And it's true. So I was walking around and I didn't know anything about, you know, myself, people perceived me, that's what I mean. So anyway, I was lucky enough to be in the Thrive Project and I was assigned an executive coach. And so she walked me off the ledge and gave me some great advice. And I quote, think about the feedback as fertilizer that is going to help you grow as a leader. I don't know about you, but I think this is great advice, right? So I started looking at the results completely differently. There was a lot of positive in it, obviously, creative, blah, 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 right? But there was, the stuff that was bad wasn't hard to fix. So I started working on my action plan. So what do you do? So first you gotta set some goals for yourself. So for me, I had about three goals, and one of my first goal was to, you know, take care of the negative feedback. So I wanted to become a better listener. So that was one of the issues, and also I wanted to become a more strategic leader and a better leader overall. Second, you want to set action steps. So you have your goals, and now you're making a list of steps. Okay, how am I going to get there, right? So for me, as far as for listening, what I did is I set up one-on-ones with everyone in the company, my boss, my peers, direct reports, the GM, the GM's wife. No, I didn't do that. Right. And then, you know, quarterly or monthly or weekly for some people. And, you know, I just wanted everybody to know that I was working on myself, because if you do, people cut you some slack, right? And they're happy that you're doing it too. They're like, oh my God, look at him, he's doing something. So third, you need to think about what you want the outcomes to be, right? So because that's important, because if you don't know where you're going, then you have a problem, right? So for me, I wanted to improve my relationships. I wanted to improve my collaboration, teamwork, and I also wanted to cultivate an outward mindset. And fourth, resources, right? So what are you gonna need to get there? You can't do it by yourself, I promise you. So you can be lucky and have an executive coach, or you can get one and maybe your company provides them. You can find a mentor or have a mentor. And, you know, I would say that for me, I've always looked inside the company for mentors, and I've always found people that were interested in helping me grow. So I would, you know, I would encourage you to look in your company, because I think you can find people like that. Maybe there's books you can read and reading materials. A simple Google search can work, you know, like, how can I listen better? I promise you there's like thousands of pages on that. And for me, just a few things that I found is like, and for Shepard, I talked about it, it's like your posture, how do you stand, how do you sit, and are you sitting back or forward, keep eye contact, keeping your hands in view so they know that you don't have a knife in your hands, you know? I'm not bad at comedy, right? So all those things help me a lot. So when you start doing those things and you start to listen to people, something funny happens, you start to hear. And you start to hear about the people, about their challenges, about their personal lives, about the things they care about and their struggle. And you start to build a better relationship with them, and you start seeing them as people. So doing that is going to change your relationship completely with people. And then, you know, when you start hearing about people's problem, you want to fix them, right? So my new motto is like, how can I help you? You know, so if you walk in the meeting, if you go to somebody's office and you have a one-on-one, you say, the first thing you say is, how can I help you? That changes the game. I mean, like, the person can't bitch about you if they were mad at you or something. It's like, they'll feel like they want you around because you're going to help them fix their problems. So that's very important. And or the other thing is, every time I walk into a meeting, I just tell myself, you know, how can I help this person? And how can I listen better? Get ready to do some listening, you know? And listening is not thinking about what you're going to say when you're done talking. Mm. Listening is not thinking at anything but what they're saying, which is actually really hard. Anyway, so once you have done all that, finally, you set up some target dates for yourself. I give myself 6 months, and you know, after 6 months, you want to go back and see how you make progress, and that's the next step. Thank you.
The third and final step is where it all comes together. Mining the results is your opportunity to gauge the progress that's been made. So you've done your 360, you've taken the results, you've built an action plan, and you've executed against it. In your head, you've made a difference, but have you? Remember, this whole process is about changing perceptions. Have you changed those perceptions? Have you seen a difference? Have you gotten that feedback? Those are the questions I've been asking myself right now. So have I made a difference? Yes. A major thing lacking from my personal brand was confidence. While it wasn't glaringly obvious in my 360, it was something I knew to be true. It's something I struggled with, it's something that held me back, and it's something I knew had to be worked on. A year ago, I didn't want to share my ideas in a room full of people, and today I'm up here on the stage sharing them with all of you. So I would say that's progress.
Yep.
Going through this process has really allowed me to build my confidence. I've gotten feedback from others that they've seen a difference. And most importantly, I've changed my own perception of myself, which I think is the hardest thing to do. And it's what I'm most proud of. Alternatively, though, I don't think I've moved the needle enough in some other areas, which is hard to admit. It's hard to admit to a room full of people that I haven't done everything I've set out to do. While difficult and discouraging, it's also motivating. It makes me want to work that much harder to fix those goals. And that's what's great about this process. It's fluid. If you're not happy with the results, go back to step 2, rework your action plan, and start again. And if you're still not happy, repeat it again. I know that's what I'm gonna do. I'm going back, I'm working on my action plan, and having gone through this whole process, I know where I've gone wrong, I know where I can make some changes, and I've already started to remove some of the hurdles that have been in my way. The biggest takeaway, though, from this whole process is the idea of being deliberate. Be deliberate in everything you do. Every action, every decision, be deliberate. Being deliberate will ensure that you stay true to your action plan and allow you to take control of your brand and ultimately your life before it takes control of you. Kathleen, you want to show them how it all comes together?
I'd love to show you how it all comes together. So, you know, Rich threw me under the bus earlier, and you all heard that I was very creative. So this was not my first 360. This was about my third 360. But my first two were only with my employees. So they were so good, I didn't even know what to do with them. Sorry, pat myself on the back a little bit. So this last one, I was like, no, I'm sending this out to everybody. Everybody that has some idea of me, I'm sending it out. So when I got creative back from those people, I was super happy because I've been doing this business for 25 years. I've been teaching, I write classes, I letter comics, I've worked for every comic company. I teach kids, I've been nominated for awards. Like, and now I work at Warner Brothers and I have this amazing kick-ass office that my boss just built me. And to be creative from everybody was amazing. So that was a great result. Well, the next result was Bohemian. And this kind of threw me because, first of all, what does it matter what I dress like? And I thought, I'm the daughter of a tattooed Vietnam vet biker. I wear ripped jeans, be deliberate, and biker boots, and I have tattoos. So what the f*** is Bohemian? And what does it matter, like, how I dress? Because I'm creative, and if I wear a suit, it's not going to change the way I design. So my coach, Eden, as well, she's really good advice if you need a coach. She was like, own it, Kathleen. Like, look up some people who are Bohemian and see what others see. So I looked up Stevie Nicks. She's like the most Bohemian person I could think of, and yeah, I kind of look like her. So so I was always more of like, I'm Sally Field. Now, what's that girl who, Meg Ryan. I always thought I was like a Meg Ryan kind of girl, but I guess I'm her. So anyway, so I decided to own it. So today I'm actually wearing the vegan shoes and not the leather biker boots. So be deliberate. Anyway, so they also said I swear way too much and I speak way too honestly. So I warned you, Steve, that there was going to be a lot of in this presentation. So these phrases right here, what the fucking brilliant, I fucking love it, fuck you, is basically like 400 times a day in my office with everybody there. Now, I had to say to myself, okay, maybe I shouldn't say it so much. So I started to kind of break it down a little and say, well, maybe I shouldn't say it in front of this person or that person. So I took this information that I swear too much, I took a breath, and I decided who I could safely swear in front of. And that was good advice. So that was a step that I'm working on. I still work on that every single day. The other thing is, if I can get this to go, wait a second. So they said I wasn't corporate. Okay, duh. If I swear too much, I'm Bohemian, and I speak out way too honestly, I'm obviously not corporate. But my feeling was, why do I need to be corporate? I've been in this industry for 25 years, I never owned a suit, and I don't have high heels with those little stiletto things. So I didn't understand why I needed to be corporate to be creative. I've been in the creative industry my whole life, and I was never asked to change the way that I dress. So I took it as people just like looking for a generic term for me to try to help me figure out I needed to change. So I'm all trying to change. I'm sitting with my boss. I'm trying to figure out what I can do to change. I got into Thrive. I talked with my coach. I talked with Esther. And what I figured out was that I just needed to own it. I needed to be deliberate about it, and I needed to own it. So as I was working on this presentation, one of our vice presidents of corporate strategies and trending walked in and saw the page. And she said to me, she goes, oh my God, Kathleen, that's brilliant. And she doesn't swear at all. And I was like, okay, well, what are you talking about? And she goes, look, you need to fucking own it. And she goes, you are fabulously unapologetic, creative Kathleen. And she like wrote this huge on my 28-foot whiteboard. And A couple hours later, the president of television sales walks in and he goes, "You need to box that. That's great." And then his EVP walks in and he's like, "You need to color pink around that." So it turned into like this amazing thing. So sometimes when you're mining the results, it can become actually who you are. You just need to be deliberate in how you use it. So I welcome you all to figure out how to go brand yourself and be deliberate and challenge yourself to really understand who you are and how proud you will be to have people see you as who you are. Knowing more about your perception will afford you many things.
If you do nothing, the risk is greater than the opportunity.
So guys, what are you waiting for? Take that first step, do a 360.
Yeah, take control of the narrative and don't let the guys in the room decide, define who you are.
So look, we're gonna remind you one more time, okay? Uncover the perceptions, ask everybody. Okay, build an action plan. If you need a coach, get a coach, ask a friend, talk to one of us. Mind the results. We built a website for you guys, and you can go to Brand Yourself Today to get all of this information at our website. It even has coaching and mentoring information there.
We want to thank everyone for coming. We hope you leave empowered and inspired.
Thanks, Promax BDA. Thanks, Steve, Esther, all of our coaches, and our mentors.
And thank you to our friends and cohorts. And our family. We'll see you soon.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate Lekire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A, follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack, follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. Subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.